going to turn to John chapter 15 as we go through the book of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. In the book of John, chapter 13 through chapter 16, Jesus is giving the disciples all kinds of promises to them, as he is to us as well. Promises of faith, hope, and eternal life in Christ Jesus, that if we would abide in him, he would abide in us, and that if we ask anything in his name, he would provide. He's giving all of these promises to his disciples. What is a disciple? One who follows Christ, right? And then in chapter 17, he then prays to the Father that all of his will be done in our lives. And he prays to the Father that, listen, that he doesn't take us out of this world, but that he protects us while we're here. Now, I've always said this, you've heard me mention this, if it was just about getting saved and going to heaven, then let's line the coffins up the next day and let's get out of here, right? Who wants to stay and hang out? But that's not the plan. The plan is that God is going to use you and I to witness about him through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today, a very important part of the text. And so he gives the promises. He's also giving the disciples warnings to beware. Things are going to change for them. How many like change? Nobody likes change. None of us like change. Why? Because we're comfortable in our settings, right? They have been with Jesus. They didn't have to fear anything. They didn't have to need anything. Jesus was with them. He provided for them. And now Jesus is going to leave, and he's telling them that. And can you imagine their heart palpitating? What do you mean you're going to leave? We have given everything that we have to follow you, Christ, and now you're going to leave? What's this all about? I thought you were going to get a kingdom here, and we were going to be your servants in your new kingdom, right? And we've gone over this in detail. He's speaking about a spiritual kingdom. Jesus comes in on the donkey, right? In the fulfillment of prophecy. Once again, only the true and living God can tell the future before it happens. And so at the very appointed time, Jesus comes in, and they hail him king. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus weeps. Isn't that weird? Like when I became a new believer, I'm like, why would he be weeping? They're hailing him as king. But he knows their heart. Their thought of him being king is that he's going to take over Rome and establish his kingdom now, here on earth. And we know the reality is that Jesus was coming to die as a lamb, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world, and that Jesus will come back again. There'll be a millennial kingdom here on earth, and we will be with him forever, right? And he's going to call the church before these events that are going to happen that he speaks about down the road, the tribulation. The church is raptured. It's harpazoed. It's taken out in a twinkling of an eye. There's a different relationship for the church and the nation of Israel. We haven't replaced them. This isn't replacement theology. We have been grafted in. We have been adopted into the family. And for now, they have been blinded. And this second Adam, Jesus, right? Through the first Adam came death. Jesus, a picture of the second Adam, brings life. And as the first Adam had a wife, the second Adam has a wife as well. Who is that? The church, the bride of Christ. A separate plan, a people called out to be his bride. And he's going to call us home. John chapter 14, he tells them, listen, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, many dwelling places. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. But I go there to prepare a place for you so that when I come back, I will receive you unto myself so that you would be with me forever. That's a picture of the Jewish wedding. And God has called us his bride, and he will call us home, but he's not doing that right now. Right now, we are here as a church body, right? Now, he may call us home individually, one at a time, right? Hopefully, at the end of the service, boop, we're all gone, the rapture happens, we're out of here, we don't have to pay our mortgage bill or our car bill, we don't have to wait in line for gas, right? We don't have to worry about all these things. Why? Because the Lord is going to call us to be with him. And then when that happens, listen, everything turns back to the nation of Israel. The leader, it's right now, this world is preparing for its king, its leader. Who is that? Satan, the Antichrist. This world system is preparing for the Antichrist to come. How do we know that? Look what's happening all around us. God is allowing it, right? Ezekiel 38, war hasn't happened yet. All the players are on the field. Look what's happening in the Middle East. Russia is right at the border there. They're sitting back, providing all these resources for Hamas to attack Israel. It's happening right before our eyes. Is this it today? I have no idea. I don't know the day nor the hour, but he does. So I wait and I watch and I pray. We pray for the nation of Israel, God's people. God has called us to be a witness to him. The nation of Israel, the people of God, God had called Abraham and he called the people to be his people. And they would, the whole world was supposed to look at them and say, wow, you guys are great. Look what your God has done for you. And they were supposed to be a witness of the mighty, about the mighty King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they failed. They didn't. And then when he comes, the Messiah comes, they reject him. And so now the Bible says that they are blinded for a season. And salvation has come to the Gentile. Yes, there's Jewish people being saved, but he's speaking about it as a nation. So now salvation has come to us. And we are to be his witnesses. This is why we're still here. It's not just about going to heaven. It's about telling everybody else, hey, this ship is sinking, and here's the lifeboat. It's Jesus Christ, right? Things are happening around us. When they'll happen, we don't know, but we're watching, we're waiting, and we're hoping. And so Jesus tells him in 14, you believe in God. First of all, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because our hearts are so easily troubled by what happens around us, right? Oh no, there's no gas. Boom, the whole country is going crazy. And it was just because something on the news told us that there'll be no more gas, right? And so everybody, what'd we do? We panicked. Now, the first day I heard about it, I went and got gas, so I never had to wait in line, right? And it was a couple days later that the news got a hold of it and was telling everybody. So you got to act quick, I'm just saying. But what do? We worry, right? Now, there's nothing wrong with being prepared. I'm not saying that at all. But we're so easily shaken, aren't we? What is it called? It's called anxiety. And multiple places in the Bible, it says, be anxious about nothing. Why? Because that's the first thing we do. We become anxious, and we don't have patience. And Jesus is saying to them, you believe in a God that you don't see, John 14. Believe also in me, a God who you have seen. And I'm going to the Father. And all these promises that I have given you, I will fulfill. He tells us in John 15 now, just recapping where we went over, the first verse is, I am the true vine. Remember, he's walking out, they're leaving now. The disciples leave from here. In the end of verse 4, chapter 14, he says, let us go from here. And as they're walking out the gates, we talked about there's this huge vine with flowers on it outside the gates. And he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. If you have your own Bible, underline that. Bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Underline that too. You can do nothing apart from the Lord. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, and he is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Underline, highlight verse 8 there. That's where we left off last week. The glorification of the Heavenly Father is that you bear fruit. That you bear fruit. Turn with me real quickly to Galatians chapter 5. Because I want you to look at the fruit he's talking about. Early on as a believer, I thought this fruit was getting people saved or how many things that I did for the Lord, right? But that's a mistake. That's bad theology. It's bad hermeneutics. The fruit of the Spirit, if you're turning there, John chapter 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and you can underline that as well, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Nine fruits of the Spirit. This is very important that we understand that, because I've read this. You've read that, right? How many have never read that before? It's the first time. Not one of us. All right, we'll talk to you after church. This is something we've read through. We've read through it so fast, right? Just, oh, love, joy, peace, so long-suffering, oh, that's great. Let's go on about our business. This is the results of someone's relationship and abiding in Jesus Christ. This is what happens. You cannot bear good fruit from a bad tree, and you cannot bear bad fruit from a good tree. So what is he talking about? Remember I told you my before Christ days curse words. Blah, blah, blah. Blanking this and blanking that, right? You were one of those too? That was a condition of my heart. That's what was coming out, right? You been there? Mad at people, angry all the time. Every little thing happens, you know, you want to fight somebody and things like that. Craziness. But that was the condition of the natural man, right? We're born into sin, right? Now, we all don't necessarily have the same sins. Like, I'm too cheap to gamble. To me, gambling makes no sense, right? Just makes no sense. But there's people that are addicted. They'll be at the table, you know, they'll sell their house at a poker game. It's not me. But I have other things, and I'm not going to tell you about it. But that was a condition of the natural man before coming to Christ. Now we become born again, redeemed of God Almighty. Your life will change if you are a true believer in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to struggle from sin. You will. We all will, until we're with Jesus Christ in heaven, right? We have been given the power by the Holy Spirit to overcome that natural sinful nature that is we've been born into, right? So we're born of the Spirit of God, right? We're a new creature in Christ, a new creation in Jesus Christ. We have died to ourselves, a picture of the water baptism, dying, going into the watery grave, arising up anew, proclaiming that I'm a new creature in Christ, right? Now, what's supposed to happen if I'm new and the Spirit of God is dwelling within me? Because he comes in, he's abiding in me, and I'm abiding in him. The fruits of the Spirit that are talked about right here is what supernaturally happens in our soul. And it's reflected, listen, in our actions. So my relationship with the Lord is going to be reflected in my actions. Am I perfect all the time? No. We're not talking about the times that for whatever reasons we fall, because we will. But we have an advocate with the Father. Who is that? Jesus Christ. He's our lawyer, right? Like, oh, I'm not going to talk to the cops until I speak to my lawyer. Well, we shouldn't talk to anybody until we speak to our lawyer. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, right? The Holy Spirit, give us counsel. So what happens to a person who is born of the Spirit of God? This fruit begins to grow in your life. And it becomes evident to everyone around you. It should be, right?
Well, not in my life, Pastor, man. Nobody knows nothing about me.
I'm still struggling here and there. Yeah, we're going to struggle here and there. But if you're truly born again of Jesus Christ, the fruit will begin to grow. And what is the fruit? Love. Not anger. It's the opposite, right? Love. Joy. And these are the first things. Love. This is coming out of you. You're loving. What does love mean? Love means caring. In spite of, right? Caring for people. I didn't care about anybody. I cared about me. That was it. In my days, right? I was the king of my castle, and I would tell you that. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, you begin to change. You begin to see other people as Christ does, that they need the Lord, and the ones that know the Lord, that there's a fellowship, there's a union with them, there's that peace. So I know before I became a Christian, my mom would talk about Jesus. I couldn't wait to get out of the room, right? You were one of those too? You've been around a Christian, they start talking about Jesus, and you can't wait to skedaddle? Why? Because you don't have the Spirit of God in you. And so love comes out. You begin to care about it. Joy. What am I joyful about? Man, my life's a wreck. Every time I wake up, I can barely move. I have arthritis and I have a headache and I have... You fill in the blanks. Especially I'm 56. When I got to 50, everything's going downhill. Right? Physically, right? Aches, pains, everything. You know, you're growing stuff like barnacles on you. Like, where'd this come from? I got to get this taken off, right? This is what happens when we get older. So where's this joy you're talking about? Joy to know, listen, that my sins are forgiven. That evil that I did, that hurt that I put on someone or did or said to someone, God has forgiven me. The sin that I thought about, my sins are forgiven. And I have that joy in my heart to know that I'm right with the Lord. Everything around me could be crumbling, right? You ever been around those people? You can't stand them, right? Because they're always so calm. Well, we should be like that, right? We should have that peace of Christ that transcends all our understanding. And we should, and we have in Christ. So here's what happens. Well, I don't feel that way, so I don't think that way. You ever hear that? That's why we need to be transformed by what? Renewing our minds, how I think. I don't have to be miserable. I don't have to wake up angry. No longer living as I once did. Those curse words don't have to come out of my mouth. I don't have to sin. I don't have to go there. I don't have to talk to you. I don't have to do this. Why? Because I have been set free, and I have that joy in my heart being led by the Spirit to no longer want those things of the past. My sins are forgiven. When I got saved, first of all, we went to the church. It was like the third Wednesday. I believe it was a Wednesday night. My wife was with me. We both were just in awe of the things that we were hearing. Now, we heard them before. It was just some reason the Lord was using at this point in our life. And when he gave the altar call, I felt like just the Lord picked me up. I asked Wendy, you want to go? She said no. She wasn't ready. She ended up going, getting saved down the road. But I was the first one up there crying like a baby. Why was I crying? Sorrow. Conviction. Remembering all the things that I said and did. But the crying came out of joy to know that I was forgiven. I felt this whole, like the whole world was lifted off my shoulder. And I had, listen, peace with God. Jesus says, my peace I give you, not as the world. My peace I give you that it will last. What was the peace that God, that Jesus gave us? Jesus gives us peace with our Father. Our sins are forgiven. And in that should be joy. There should be the joy in your heart. You should want to come to church for fellowship, studying the scriptures, and singing to the Lord praises for what he's done. The third thing is peace. Peace. Everybody wants peace. Peace and quiet. You ever hear that? I just need some peace and quiet. We can have peace and quiet in our heart. Why? He's given us peace with our Father. Remember, right? My peace I give you. I have peace with my maker, Romans 5. I have access to his throne. Wow. You mean God's not mad at me anymore? The answer, ladies and gentlemen, is no. You have peace with your maker. You're not at enmity anymore. Why? You're doing the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? Believe in his Son. Amen. You could preach this. That's right. The next one, we all love this one, long suffering, right? Who wants to do that one? But that happens naturally, it happens supernaturally to the believer. What is another word for long-suffering? Enduring. Endurance, right? Enduring, or patience, you could use that word. Nobody likes that, but that's what happens to the believer. So number one, the believer has love. He has joy, she has peace, and now endurance. You know, your marriage relationship might not be perfect, and you may have been struggling for years and years through this, but you're enduring because you're hoping and you're doing your part for the best. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That doesn't come without the fruit of the Spirit. Why? That's why so many people are divorced and separated and set apart, right? They don't have that peace of Christ. They don't have that joy in their heart. They don't have the Spirit of God. This is the fruit of God's Spirit that's in you. Long-suffering, patience. None of us like that. But that happens supernaturally. Guess what else? Kindness. if you're watching TV today, it's just absolute opposite. Nobody's kind anymore to anybody. Kindness, kindness. We want to be kind to people. That happens by the fruit of the Spirit, right? Goodness. Now, I have no goodness in me in and of myself, right? That is, blessed are the poor in spirit. I am absolutely bankrupt of any righteousness on my own. But God has put the goodness in me. And so a righteousness is the fruit of the Spirit. Another word for goodness. Faithfulness. I can be faithful. My yeses can be yes, and my noes can be no, right? I can be faithful to who? The Lord, for what he's done. So all of these things are coming out of the true believer. Now, I know there's many people out there that said, yeah, man, I said that prayer one time. I believe in Jesus. And their life reflects nothing of anything I've said here. Debauchery, drunkenness, everything. And yet they think that when the church is, and they never come to church, and the church is harpazo, that they're going to jump on the back of the wagon. The church is God's people. There's no good people in heaven. Did you know that? Good people don't go to heaven. Because none of us are good. Saved people go to heaven. Saved, redeemed, born again of the Spirit of God go to heaven. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And here's another one, gentlemen, gentleness. Now, that doesn't sound very manly, does it? But it does. We can be gentle and still be strong men, right? Gentleness, that happens. To be kind, to be gentle. These are the things of God that he has put in to you. Ephesians 1 tells us that God has poured all the spiritual blessings in you through Christ Jesus. And then finally, self-control. We were born body, soul, and spirit. When we're born again, it's spirit, soul, and body. Once physically born, my body had control. Spiritually born, I have self-control. God has given me the ability to control myself. That comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ, one who is born of the Spirit of God, redeemed of God, not because they've said a couple prayers, but they have truly surrendered their life. Lord, I am empty, broken, spiritually bankrupt apart from you. I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, you are my Savior. I give my life to you. That's just a demonstration of a repentant heart. And when somebody really does that from a repentant heart, God receives them. He takes that old spirit out, dead spirit, and he puts a new one in, alive in Christ, which is a seal and a guarantee of your inheritance. You've heard me say that so many times. I hope it's penetrated you to know that you have been set apart for the Lord. You have been sealed. Everybody's talking about the mark of the beast, right? No, don't get the shot. It's the mark of the beast. It's not the mark of the beast. The beast isn't here, first of all, right? And it's a medical procedure. It may be, you know, getting people used to the government telling you what to do and you do it, but it's not the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast are those who are going to serve the beast. Who is the beast? The Antichrist, who will be here. The church will not be here, so we won't be here. Now, if you go on YouTube, you're going to watch pastors with the title pastor scaring people and telling them all these things. Those are false teachers. How do you know a false teacher? Because they're teaching in opposition of what God had said, right? So you're marked. How's that, Pastor? You're marked by the Spirit of God. His Spirit in you is a seal and your guarantee of your inheritance. It's a guarantee of your inheritance. Can you lose your salvation, Pastor? Well, let me say this. If it was up to me to be able to lose my salvation, it'd have been gone a long time ago. I would have lost my salvation a long time ago. Number one, I couldn't earn it, and I certainly couldn't keep it. That's why he says it is a seal and a guarantee of your inheritance. God is not letting us go. He didn't die on the cross, put his spirit in us, and say, oh, no, I didn't know she was going to do that. Give me it back, right? No, no. He knew. Why? Your life is written from the beginning to the end. It's all written out for him. He knew the very day that you would come to his salvation. He knew because he has foreknowledge, foretelling, foreknowing, foreunderstanding. And listen, when the fruits of the Spirit are showing in your life, you're glorifying God. Because he just said to glorify God through the fruits of the Spirit, right? I read it to you, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. If you're a Christian, what does that mean? Christ-like. Your life is bearing fruit. Now, how many of you have checked your life today or this week? We spoke about it a little bit last week and say, am I being loving? Oh, no. Do I have this joy? Sometimes. Do I have peace? Not my job. You could be in the middle of your job and still have peace. It's the peace that transcends all understanding. I don't understand you Christians. Things are going berserk when you guys just sit back. Hey, that's right. That's right. Why? Because I have the peace of the Spirit of God dwelling within me, and it is emanating from me. Why? I'm a child of the Lord. This is what we look at. Kindness. Now listen. You can do all of these things that I mentioned for a little while without the Spirit of God, but it's all fake and it's all false, right? You will eventually implode. You can only fake it for a little while, and the true you. Someone once told me that time, and if you're writing this down, it's great. Time is the weapon that God uses to force deception to reveal itself. Time, give it enough time, and you'll see if it's true or not, right? Time is the weapon that God uses to force deception to reveal itself. And so, how does your life look? I plan on starting chapter 16 today, but that's not even happening. But that's okay. That's okay, because we need to remind ourselves of these things. If we're a Christian, listen, don't miss this. If we're a Christian, we're obeying the Lord. We're obeying his commandments. Jesus says, if you obey my commandments, then I know that you love me. And if you love me, my Father will love you. And we will make our abode. We will live in you. Speaking of the Spirit, right? They're all one. The Spirit of God will dwell within you if you're obeying my commandments. Am I doing what God has called me to do? And it's not of a list of the do's and don'ts. It's a life surrendered to the Lord, and he will do the things in you. What does fruit trees do? They just stand there, right? What comes out of them? The fruit, right? A tree doesn't do anything but just stand there. So I have this coconut tree in front of my house. I hate it because I always have to trim it. And when I trim it, and there's just a couple stalks hanging out, and just every so many months, boop, these seeds start plopping out. And what are those? Coconuts. Automatically happens. How is that? Because that's a coconut tree. Now, I'm not getting bananas off a coconut tree, right? So if you're a child of the Lord, this is the reflection of things that will happen in your life. It does not mean that life is not easy, or that life is easy, because life is very difficult for some people, extremely. And sometimes life is devastating for some. Things that have happened of no fault of their own, or whatever the case may be. It doesn't mean that because we're Christians that everything's going to be rosy and happy and all that. These are internal things that will express themselves external, right? These are the things that happen within our hearts that begin to flow out of us. We can still love and be in a difficult situation. We can still have joy in our hearts, and we can still have peace. Although things may seem chaotic in our life, these are things that happen in you because you're a Christian, a true Christian, who has listened, settled her life to the Lord. Jesus said to these disciples, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. These disciples. Now, was he talking to everybody? We're not sure. But what makes a disciple? Someone who believes in Jesus, right? But there's more than just saying, I believe in Jesus, right? It's more than just a prayer that's been thrown out. It happens in your heart. Oh, I'm broken. I need to be saved. It happens within us. And then it begins to express out of us. You are my Savior, Lord. I need to be saved. That's a repentant, contrite heart. And then the confession is that, Jesus, you are my Savior. This is what happens in the Christian life. Why is Jesus telling them this? listen, they're going to be challenged at every level. And it's going to be overwhelming to them. It's going to be overwhelming. I'm not going to get to it today, but he's going to tell them, listen, hey, when people want to kill you, what? People want to kill me? Yeah, they're going to kill you. These are the words that he starts to use to them. People are going to kill you for my name's sake. Wow. I never signed up for that. We were talking about a kingdom, right? Things get really hard for them. He's preparing them so they have an understanding that no matter what's going to happen around them, what the future holds, that their eyes are upon Jesus. They're connected to him, that your life is abiding in Christ, that your life is surrendered to the Lord, that you're trusting in the Lord, you're coming to him with childlike faith, and he is pouring all of these things out of you. That only happens. So what makes a disciple? Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Wow, that doesn't sound fun, does it? The cross is a picture of death, right? We all wear this. This is like an electric chair we wear around our necks, right? It's a picture of death. Die to yourself daily so that you could live for Christ. Wow, that changes everything, right? Although things are going to get really hard for them, they're not going to understand it now because we know what Peter's going to do. Peter's going to say, oh, I never knew him. Peter was this tough guy. Peter takes out his sword and he cuts off the soldier's ear. He's ready to battle physically, right? But then when he's challenged on a spiritual level to proclaim Jesus to a little girl at a fire, I never knew the man, blankety blank, cursing up a storm. What happened? And then he's writing books. He's preaching to 3,000 people are getting saved. What happened between the time he's cutting off the ear and the time he's saying, I never knew you, to the time that he's proclaiming Jesus Christ? What happened was as Jesus descended into the lower parts and ascended into the kingdom of God, and he sent his spirit to dwell in his believers. And then they had the power to overcome their circumstances, their situations, and guess what else? Their future that was still unknown to them. He's going to tell them they're going to die. But he's also going to tell them to trust in me. What does your life look like today? Is church just something we do? And for those this is for, it's for you. For those it's not, pray for those who it is. Because I think there's so many people today just showing up, throwing that out. I'm a Christian. I go here and there. And you may, and that's great. But for those who are playing church and their life does not reflect that of this here, Galatians 5, then challenge you, question yourself. Are you a true believer in Christ? Are you obeying what Jesus tells us to obey? If, verse 14, you are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. Are we obeying the Lord? A Christian's life is a life of obedience to the King. This is heavy stuff because I know there's a lot of things going on in a lot of people's lives in different ways, different situations. But 50 years from now, I'll give a big number, 50 years from now, all of us are going to be in the kingdom. We're not going to be here, right? Eventually, we're all going to go. We're going to all go together on the big bus, or we're going to have the limo ride one-on-one. We're all going to leave this earth one way or another. And we're all going to be with the Lord. Or we're not going to be with the Lord. That's going to depend upon your decision to ultimately surrender your life to the Lord and live it. Because Jesus is going to tell them, blessed are you that do it. Not just be hearers of the word. The apostle said that. Hearers of the word, but doers of the word. You see, our actions, don't miss this, our actions reflect our relationship with Christ. And so I pray now as we begin to close that your life is a tree, a fruit tree full of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And if it is, you're glorifying your Heavenly Father. Because that's what Jesus said, right? A life full of love. And sometimes we have to catch ourselves, right? We know we shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be yelling at this person who cut in front of us in the car in the line, right? We know that, right? There was a time we'd be throwing a couple fingers out and things like that. Now, we're not going to do that because we're Christians, but we're still angry and mad. Hey, let's stop the angry and mad in the heart first. Let's catch it now before it happens so that we're not continuously doing that. And we're continuously living a life trusting in the Lord because he knows our future. He's telling the disciples, things are going to get really difficult, but trust in me. And your life will be reflected. Your relationship is reflected as you abide in me and I abide in you.